start in the book of Nehemiah tonight. And God said, no, you're not. So hopefully I'll be starting in it next week unless he tells me something different. But I was thinking about some things. It's kind of dangerous to be thinking, but I was thinking about some things. And in our last deacons meeting, we were talking about some things. And I realize and know that there's been a lot of water go under the bridge in this place, in this body. And there's a slight possibility that there could be some hurt feelings and some things in people's lives that might be keeping us from being what we need to be. And so I went through this study that I went through many years ago, and I went back through it again because I go through it all the time because I just don't want to be a person that has any root of bitterness in my life at all.
Yeah.
I don't. It's life is too short, and I'm not going to hold on to that stuff. You know, I'm just not going to do it. Not just because I purpose not to do it, because it's the best thing for us to not hold on to those kinds of things. And so I want to go through this tonight because it speaks to the specifics about forgiveness and the freedom that forgiveness brings us to be able to do what God wants us to do. And so I'm going to read a passage out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's a very familiar passage. In fact, I think it's up here on the screen. Verses 4 through 9. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they'll cease. Where there are tongues, they'll be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. It's interesting that as Paul is writing this passage under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he begins to speak to us about the importance of real, true love. Now, this world is all messed up. When you say love, they think of everything else except what real love really is. And it's obvious, and it's becoming more and more so. Even as that day is approaching, we see it go more and more and more away from exactly what it's supposed to be. And so I think Paul was probably realizing this too in the culture and the places that he was going. Corinth was one of the most debauched places in the world at the time. And yet he was willing to write this letter to them and say, listen, folks, it's not about all this other stuff, but love is different. The love of God is different. And the only way we can know the love of God is to understand what the love of God is all about. And the love of God is patient with us always, and it's kind, and it doesn't envy, and it doesn't boast, and it's not proud, and it's not rude, and it's not self-seeking, and it's not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. So with that in mind, I want to go through this study tonight because for me, it's something I go through on a regular basis because I don't, like I said a while ago, I don't want to have any spot in my life of bitterness towards somebody else. Now, are there people that rub me the wrong way? Sure. Are there people that have done wrong to me? Sure. Yeah. Are there people that have hurt people in my family? Yes, of course. Why? Because people are sinful. And they're going to sin. And because of that, the Scripture teaches us these characteristics and these aspects of forgiveness. So I want to go through these together with you. The first one is, of the three characteristics of forgiveness, is there's a difference between forgiveness and pardon. Forgiveness deals with our emotional response toward the offender. So if somebody has offended me, then I have to choose, or I can choose, to forgive them. Pardon deals with the consequences of the offense. Now, that's going to happen. When somebody hurts somebody else, there's always going to be some consequences for that. But it isn't upon me to dole out the consequences. In fact, it's upon me to only forgive them as I've been forgiven. How have I been forgiven? Completely. So if I can be forgiven completely for all the junk that I've done, then, goodness, can I forgive someone else? Forgiveness is clearing the record with us. That passage we just read in 1 Corinthians in the verse 5, it says, keep no record of wrongs. Now, I can tell you how you know whether somebody's keeping a record of wrongs or not. Because when you mess up, they bring up something else. Oh yeah, I remember when you did that too. Oh yeah, well, thanks for remembering that. I'm glad you wrote that one down on your heart. You know? Forgiveness means I'm clearing the record. I'm not gonna bring this up again. I'm not gonna hold it against somebody else. I'm clearing the record just like Jesus cleared the record with me. Aren't you glad that when you mess up, Jesus doesn't go, there you go again. Another sin I'm going to have to die for on the cross. You know, He doesn't do that. Forgiveness is clearing the record with us, and it's transferring the responsibility for punishment to God. Now let me tell you something, folks. We know that God can take the responsibility for punishment. But there's got to be a transfer. Because if you don't transfer it to Him, you're going to hang on to it. And you're going to be looking for ways that, hey God, that would have been a good time to smash them. Why didn't you do that? That would have been a good time to make them cry. That would have been a good time to take something away from them. And we'd just be on and on and on. But when you do that, there's a root of bitterness that begins to grow in your heart towards somebody. And if you allow it to start to grow, it will grow quickly. It will grow fast and it will grow strong. Forgiveness is transferring the responsibility for punishment to God. And thirdly, forgiveness allows us to be as open to the one who's offended us after the offense as we were before it. In other words, even though they've done something to me that was wrong, and I know it's wrong, and everybody else knows it's wrong, what do I do? Hey, I transfer that to God. Hey, God, I forgive them. You forgave me. I forgive them. I transfer this to you. If you want to punish them for that, go for it. If you don't, hey, it's up to you. I leave this in your hands. Now, when that begins to happen in your life, there's some aspects that will begin to show. Forgiveness involves a positive attitude towards the offense rather than a negative attitude towards the offender. In other words, even though somebody has hurt you or hurt me or done something they know is wrong, I don't begin to become negative and push them away and I don't want to be around them anymore and I don't, you know, I say, you know, cursory things towards them and that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is saying, listen, I don't like what they did. And so understand that I've transferred it to God, but I'm not going to have a negative attitude towards this person. I'm not going to do it. Secondly, forgiveness views the offender as an instrument in God's hand. Now, I don't know if I put this one up there or not. Second Samuel. Okay, yeah, all right. As King David approached Bahurim, a man from the same clan as Saul's family, you know who Saul was, the guy who tried to kill him for a long, 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 long time. Same clan as Saul's family came out from there. His name was Shimei, son of Gera, and he cursed as he came out, and he pelted David and all the king's officials with stones. Though all the troops and the special guard were on David's right and left, and as he cursed, Shimei said, get out, you murderer, you scoundrel. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul, which he didn't shed any, by the way, just so so you know. All right. In whose place you have reigned. The Lord has given the kingdom into the hands of your son Absalom. You've come to ruin because you're a murderer. Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and cut off his head. I think he was taking up an offense for somebody else, right? Okay. But the king says, what does this have to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? If he's cursing because the Lord said to him, curse David, who could ask, why do you do this? David then said to Abishai and all of his officials, my son, my own flesh and blood is trying to kill me. How much more then this Benjamite? Leave him alone, let him curse, for the Lord's told him to. It may be that the Lord will look upon my misery and restore me to his covenant blessing instead of this curse today. So David and his men continued along the road while Shimei was going along the hillside opposite of him, cursing as he went and throwing stones at him and showering him with dirt. And the king and all the people with him arrived at their destination exhausted, and there he refreshed himself. Now, David makes a couple of statements here that are pretty amazing. You know, the scripture says David was a man after God's own heart. Well, here's one way that proved it. You see, he viewed Shimei as an instrument in God's hand. When somebody does something to you that's hurtful, that's offensive, that you don't understand why they would do that to you, it's always good to remind ourselves that maybe God is using them as an instrument in my life to do something that I need to see and I need to hear and I need to change. Forgiveness also looks at the wounds of the offense as God's way of drawing attention to the offender's needs. You see, most of the time, the reason people wound you is because they're hurting. But we don't see that. We just see what they did to us. And we feel the pain that they inflicted upon us. And it's all about us. But you see, when we're in Christ, it's not about us any longer. It's about Him. And with the love of Christ, what would He do? What He would do is the same thing He did when He was hanging on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. God might be trying to draw our attention to what's hurting them in the first place. Forgiveness also recognizes that bitterness is assuming a right that we don't have. What do I mean by that? Let me just read this passage out of Romans. Or did I put it up there? I did. Good. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it's written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. It goes on to say, in doing so, it's like heaping hot coals upon his head. Now, I used to think, oh man, that'd be good. I want to heap some hot coals on somebody's head. But what that's a picture of is that in the time of Israel, the widows didn't have a way to keep a fire going. And so they would put a pan on their head and they'd walk through town and ask for coals so that they could go and start their fire back up. It was being good to somebody. It was giving to them. Forgiveness realizes that the offender has already begun receiving the consequences of his offense. Let me tell you something, folks. When somebody hurts you and lashes out at you because they're hurting, we realize they're hurting, and maybe they've done something wrong and hurtful, guess what? That doesn't go unnoticed from God. And even though they lashed out, they will begin to even in their own heart and mind, realize they shouldn't have done it. Yeah. And even if they did do it, they might not back off or ask for forgiveness ever or whatever. You may have somebody in your family that's hurt you so bad, you think you could never, ever, ever forgive them, but God forgave them. Yeah. And they may be hurting and going through what they're going through because you have not given them forgiveness. Forgiveness involves cooperating with God in the offender's life. Think about that. Forgiveness means I'm cooperating with God. See, I've turned all this over to God. It's up to Him whether He wants to pardon them or not, or do, you know, whether they have to go through consequences or what. I've turned all this over to Him. I want to be as open with them now as I was before they offended me. So I'm cooperating with God in this, and I'm going to do whatever He says. And even though they're hurting because of what they've done, I can still go and love on them and care about them and show them, hey, I forgive you completely. Well, in Luke chapter 15, great, great, great example of forgiveness. We all know this as called the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. And Jesus began, He continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided the property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got all that he had together and set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and he went to the father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and he was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. So here is the clear biblical example of what forgiveness looks like. First of all, the father gave his son freedom to fail. You see, I think one of the things that we try to do in parenting or in friendships or whatever else is we don't give anybody the freedom to fail. And if they do fail, we're all over them. We're all over them. Not once in this whole passage do you hear the father go, see, I told you. I knew this had happened. You blew it all, didn't you? Yeah, well, I guess you can bunk with the guys out there. You know, you can just hear stuff like that. Don't see any of that. In fact, he ran to him and he embraced him. The father gave his son freedom to fail. Secondly, he never gave up on his son. The scripture indicates that he's out there looking as though that's what he does every day. He looks for his son to see if he's coming home. See, a person who forgives someone else is going to look for every opportunity to let them know that they're forgiven. Thirdly, he took the initial steps of reconciliation. He didn't wait until the son finally got there and said, what's the deal? You come groveling back and want something? I mean, you took everything. No, he ran to him and he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. And he expressed his love genuinely. I mean, this son had to know that this wasn't a show his dad was putting on. He was truly loved. Truly loved. And I think the last thing is one of the most important things. He didn't hold the past over his son's head. That's the same thing that it talks about in 1 Corinthians 13:5. He didn't keep records of wrong. He forgave him. See, true forgiveness wipes away everything that they've done. So there is no chance for that root of bitterness to begin to grow in your life. I've turned it all over to God. It's not my deal. If God wants to do something, He will. I'm going to love them just like I should always love them. Love as you have been loved. Forgive as you have been forgiven. And with that, Ephesians 4:32 comes along. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. How? Just as in Christ, God forgave you. Did He forgive everything? Yes. Is He holding anything against me? No. Not at all. When I stand before Jesus, it won't be on any of my merits because I don't have any. It will be on His merit, upon His blood that was shed for me, that was absolutely pure and perfect and clean and covered my sins. And He's not holding anything over my head. In fact, He's going to give me a crown for my head that I can turn around and lay at His feet. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Let's pray. Father, I just come to You right now, and I just sense, Lord, that it's very easy for us, because it's very easy for me, to feel like somebody has hurt me, done something wrong, has wronged me, has said something bad to me, has treated me or my family in a bad way. But Lord, I'm not going to hold that against them. I turn every one of those things over to You, Lord, because it's not mine anyway. Vengeance is Yours, You said. You will repay. And I believe that, Lord. So I can trust You in this. And I can know, Father, whatever needs to happen in my own life, whatever needs to happen in their life, can be done through Your power and Your might and Your love and Your forgiveness. And Lord, You've modeled forgiveness for us in the greatest way ever. Lord, how can we then not forgive? How can we hold something against someone else? I pray, Father, in this body of believers, that there will be true forgiveness, so that Your power and Your Holy Spirit can indwell this place again, and that people can come and know they're going to be loved no matter what. I know, Lord, there are many people in this community who feel like they couldn't be loved, who feel like they've messed up too bad, feel like that they've dug a ditch between them and us, or whatever else it is, Lord. But Father, I pray in Jesus' name, by the power that is in the blood of Jesus, that You, Lord, will let them know and understand that You love them 100%, and so do we. And I pray, Father, that You'll give us opportunities to let them know it. And Lord, I also ask this tonight. If there's anyone here in this building right now who knows they've got something against someone else, as Your Scripture commands us to do, help us, Lord, to go to them and get it cleared. Let them know that everything's forgiven, no matter how bad it was. It may be the first step of them realizing the love of God in Christ Jesus. And I thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen.